Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament passage comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Listen to God's word. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we mentioned, this is the first Sunday of Advent, and it's actually the first Sunday of our new liturgical year. Advent is the season of looking forward to the celebration of Christmas, and it's also a time when we look back and remember that first Christmas in Bethlehem, and we look forward to the time when Jesus Christ will return. Advent means arrival, so we are expecting and awaiting his arrival. And in a way, this is another time of the year when God is giving us a new beginning. A new liturgical year is beginning here on the 27th of November. We also have the beginning of the new year in January. There is the beginning of a new fiscal year for some people, the 1st of July. There's the beginning of the new school year in September. And I think in this way, God is continually giving us opportunities for a fresh start. Well, today, I'd like us to think about not lacking any gift. It's a phrase from our New Testament lesson. And we can think about these lists in these passages as gift lists. Now, when we were children, we thought of a Christmas list as a list of gifts that we were hoping we might get, right? You make that list of things that maybe Santa Claus might feel so inclined to bring. And as adults, we prepare a Christmas list as a list of gifts that we want to make sure to remember to get or make or buy for the people that we know we need to give a gift to. Maybe some of us were among the shoppers on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, with our gift list in hand, helping to spend our way back to economic recovery, possibly. Our Bible passages this morning both promise and reassure us that by God's grace, we are not lacking in any gift. The question is, how do we respond to the list of gifts that God so freely gives us? Will we take our material blessings for granted and become complacent? Will we forget the Lord our God? And what about the spiritual gifts that God has given us in Christ? Will we neglect to share them? How will our friends and family, our community, and even the world be better off, or not, by the way that we use our gifts? In Deuteronomy, the people of Israel were about to enter the land that God had promised to give them. And just in case they were on the verge of forgetting how God had provided for them in the past, he gives them a list. Now, each of us, no matter how old we are, can look back on our life and see times when God has helped us get through difficulties. And the older we are, probably the more examples we can think of when God has helped us through a tough time. And these are examples of the Lord's faithfulness and generosity. I think that what God is telling us is that we have come through economic hardships before. A number of our members lived through the Great Depression, and we have faced all kinds of national crises and personal challenges and eras of uncertainty in our lives when we were anxious about what the future might hold. And we know that God has carried us through each one of them. It would be a good spiritual exercise for us to actually sit down and write our own list of the times in our life when God has helped us, sustained us, and even showed us generosity and grace. In Deuteronomy, God's people will soon launch into a time of receiving even more gifts from God's hand. He is bringing them into a good land that has everything they could wish for. It's as if they had made a gift list of what they would hope for that God might give them, and he has already done it. In a way, we can view this message for us as reassurance that the tough times are not going to last forever. Eventually, we don't know when, there will be economic recovery, and we will enjoy prosperous times again in the future. When we look at Deuteronomy, they're talking about springs of water and olive oil and pomegranates and wonderful gifts. Well, when we look at our lives in this land, we know that we have amazing resources that God has given us. We don't have to wait for our favorite fruits and vegetables or flowers or anything to be in season. We can get what we want at any time. And we can go to restaurants that provide cuisines from all over the world, authentic meals, anything that we could want, we can go out and get. We live in this wonderful area. We've got world-famous everything in New York and Philadelphia. We have resources that the people in Deuteronomy probably couldn't have even imagined. We could even have someone else make a meal for us and deliver it to our house. That's how blessed we are. And we think about having parties with our friends and family. And of course, when we eat, we give thanks to God for what he has provided and his goodness toward us. And we see in Deuteronomy, now God adds a list of the future gifts that he will give to his people. And in a sense, we can see ourselves participating in receiving of God's gifts. The people will build fine houses and live in them. We have homes that are decorated to the hilt, especially as we're getting ready for the holidays. They will enjoy business success as their herds and flocks multiply. We have been given opportunities for our own security, where we can grow and work hard and be sustained, even in difficult times. God says the things that they have will multiply. They will gain even more and more things. And surely we can imagine ways that God will make use of the good times ahead of us. But there's a warning here. What might happen when we have eaten until we are full? The danger of becoming satisfied is that we can become self-centered. We may forget the Lord who provided so richly for us. We may tell ourselves, I worked hard for this success, and this is by my own doing. We might even act as though we don't need God. We might stop following his way of living. But God warns us not to let ourselves be fooled or carried away by our abundance of possessions. He says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. The fact that we have physical strength, health, and energy, in order to have and keep a job. All of these are gifts from God. And the purpose that God has in mind here is in order that he may confirm his covenant that he swore with your ancestors as he is doing today. Really, God's covenant is about the fact that we belong to him and that our life is in God's hands. The Lord is continually trying to teach us to trust in him, not relying on ourselves or what we think we might gain on our own. So you may be thinking, Rosanna, these are tough economic times. We are not feeling very prosperous right now. And that's true. A number of us are facing challenges. But I believe that most of us have enough of what we need to get through this difficulty. I suspect that many of us have gradually accumulated more and more things over the years that we might not have even noticed. Some of us may have pulled out special dishes for the Thanksgiving holiday or for Christmas. If you could use every cup or plate in your home consecutively before doing any of the dishes, how long would it take you to go through all of them? I read an article recently about a woman who was looking for a pen, and she opened her pen drawer, and she realized, oh my goodness, I have dozens of pens. There's probably 100 pens in here. Half of them probably don't work, but she doesn't have the time to use as many things as she actually has. Or have you ever put so many things into a certain cabinet or closet that when you open the door, it's like a mini avalanche of things? You're like, oh my goodness. Clothes or shoes are more your style. Or perhaps you have a collection of things that you add to periodically when you can. How many of us have gathered potentially useful things that, you know, might be helpful sometime in the future on a rainy day that we've never actually used? And they're sort of sitting there, piled up in our homes. Compared to most of the world, we Americans generally have more than enough of practically every kind of tangible good. And this is why there's a movement today towards simple living. Have you heard of this? Some people have made a pact that they are going to have exactly 100 things. Starting with, my toothbrush is number one, and I'm going to make sure that I have exactly 100 things. I'm going to edit down all the stuff that I have till it's just what I need. And when I get to 100, that's it. I'm giving the rest away. Well, that might seem kind of extreme, but I think that it can get us thinking in a new way. Some of us are experiencing real difficulties, and we saw that this was evident a couple weeks ago when we had the collection for the Thanksgiving baskets. You know, the scouts gathered the food, and the youth group sorted it, and this year we looked around and we saw there were fewer items on the tables, and usually we would pile them up underneath the tables. And so we see that there were more families in need of help and fewer families who were able to contribute help. But I thought it was so cool how the deacons in charge of it, Andy and Flo Creeman, they put out a word and they said, we need three kinds of things. Can you please bring them? And sure enough, within 24 hours, more people who were able brought in the things that were needed, so that by Saturday morning, when the people came to pick up the Thanksgiving baskets, through the kindness and generosity of regular people and the funds that they have gathered, that people have contributed over time to Skeet's Pantry, we were able to fulfill the promise that we had made to provide these Thanksgiving baskets. And in a way, I think God is showing us that God provides through each of us helping in what way that we can. The Advent season can be good for us spiritually. The tradition of giving gifts is a way I think God wants us to make a shift in our thinking. It's like a line in a Sheryl Crow song. She says, "It's not having what you want, it's wanting what you've got." And I think that's true, being satisfied and thankful for what we have. But what if God is actually giving us a chance to not want so badly the things that we do have? What if God is trying to give us a new perspective? Maybe the new way of thinking that God has for us is to consider what we have that we can share with others, what we have right now that we could give away. This morning, our youth class distributed the boxes for the Christmas Joy offering, and we'll be gathering those, and they're going for a good cause for students in racial ethnic colleges and schools affiliated with the Presbyterian Church. And the other half of the offering goes to Presbyterian Church workers who may have a special medical expense or a housing need. So this is a good cause, and we're involved with it every year. And I think that what God is trying to do is help us to shift our thinking from what we have received as something to hold on to what we have received as something to give away. We know of some families in our congregation that make a regular practice of putting all their coins in a big container, and then periodically, when it gets full, giving that money to Skeet's Pantry. And I think that's what we're trying to encourage the students to do, filling those banks. I know I've got a lot of coins, and I used to use it to get something for myself. I'm thinking, I've already got too much stuff. What do I need to buy that I don't already have? God is giving us an opportunity to give it away, to share it. And actually, I think that that's what we realize. The joy of Christmas is more about thinking about how what we give can make somebody else happy. That's that feeling that you have in your heart where you're excited that you have something to give that can make a difference in someone else's life. Recently, I read that a way to think about an offering is God is giving us an opportunity to be set free from bondage to our material goods. The Lord wants us to escape the world's trap of clinging tightly to our stuff. He wants to release us from the hold that our things and money can have over our way of thinking. Just like everyone in our culture, we can get caught up in being concerned about what we have or things that we might want in the future. And instead, I think God wants to help us focus on the fact that with his help, we have enough. We're even able to help other people who are in need. Since everything comes from God, he has provided generously for us. He's inviting us to extend his grace, his list of gifts, his generosity to other people. Our New Testament passage gave me the title for this sermon, Not Lacking in Any Gift. By God's grace, he has given us an abundance of spiritual gifts as well as material. Jesus Christ is alive and at work in our lives. He's helping us to live into the mature people that he knows we can become when we share our spiritual gifts. The Apostle Paul says, "We have been enriched in Christ in every way, in speech, in knowledge of every kind, as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among us." He has called us to be in this community of faith, this congregation, where we learn of him and talk about him. And we see through our conversations with our Christian friends that God answers prayer. In sharing the stories of Christ's goodness to help us, we are actually witnessing to others. And that can lead to more people giving thanks to God. The purpose he has in mind is that as we wait for the revealing of Christ, his advent, his return in glory, We will be found blameless on the day of the Lord. And we have a promise here of one more gift. Our faithful God will continually strengthen us as we seek to follow him. In an amazing way, our desire to respond in faithfulness with gratitude and generosity will be the gift that we ultimately give to the Lord. Thanks be to God.